So, the meaning of life. And you answered, is to experience the love of God. And that is a much bigger answer than we often realize. Everything that exists is there for that one purpose, for the love of God to be revealed. Nothing exists except for that purpose, for the love of God to be revealed. So if we are in tune with God's purpose, then we will be in tune with the love of God. It's very easy for us to become disoriented to the love of God. The old sin nature is completely disoriented to the love of God. The world system is disoriented to the love of God. Cares of this world take us away from the orientation of the love of God. All kinds of things will disorient us to the love of God. But that only happens because Satan is the god of this world system. He hates the love of God because it's something that is completely foreign to him. It's something that he cannot wrap his mind around, and to him it seems extraordinarily unjust. And this is also part of the reason why he fell. When he was Lucifer, he did not understand the love of God. He did not understand thereby God's character. He knew God on a superficial level as a holy, perfect God, but he did not know him as a loving God. Because to angels, a loving God does not have the same meaning as it does to us. A loving God means that you have a God who is patient and kind, first and foremost, in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Yet the angels, being perfect, need no patience and they need no kindness. And so, albeit he is indeed a holy God, that's an attribute, but it's not his essential character. His holiness stems from his love. But because angels are perfect, they do not have a relationship with him according to his love, but rather according to his holiness. So, to Lucifer, and this is in Ezekiel 28:15-18, he could not get his mind around the fact that God is love. In Isaiah 14:13-14, when Lucifer said, I will, the five I wills against God, I will be like the Most High, I will be above the stars of heaven, and so on. He was trying to replace God because he did not understand the love of God, and basically, he thought the love of God and what God did to manifest that love was scandalous. We have a message we preached a while ago called What Happened in Heaven, where we outline all this. But to Lucifer it was scandalous. Because how could the giver of life, the holy God, first of all, how could he even accept men, whereas he rejected angels. Men would fall, they would be saved. Angels would fall, they would not be saved. How could that possibly happen? What he didn't recognize is that an extension of love is faith. Because of love, there is faith. In Galatians 5:6, faith is really the expression of the life of love. That's why it's energized by love. But where there is no love, there really is no faith in a practical sense. There's faith in terms of believism. I believe that this is so. But believing something is not all that useful. Only when belief turns to trust does faith become living. does it become real. And so love is what gives faith the life, the energy in the original language, for it to become trust. The devils believe and tremble, but they don't trust. We do not see God. The devils have seen Him. We believe Him, though we have not seen Him, but because of the love that He expresses to us, we trust Him. And in that is the difference. The other thing is that the angels, being perfect, could not understand the love of God and thereby could not really understand the practicality of grace, the practicality of faith, the practicality of mercy. The death of the Savior, who was God Himself, in other words, Christ is God incarnate. God incarnate is one of the three expressions of God. So Christ was fully God, always. Don't confuse the Trinity as being three separate people. We say they are three in one, but nowhere in the Bible does it say they are separate. As a matter of fact, the opposite is stated. Jesus said to Philip in John 14, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He said the Holy Spirit will be given to you by the Father, but it's His own Spirit. There's this oneness between the three, and that's because it's really one God with three expressions. And when we realize that people have multiple expressions as a normal part of their life, that becomes much easier to understand. A person is whoever they are on their job, then the person is perhaps a mom or a dad, and the person is also a spouse. Well, right there you have three expressions, not to mention the other expressions. Perhaps they're a son or a daughter. Perhaps they're a friend. Things like that. So we all have multiple expressions. The fact that God has three expressions is easy to understand, really. And so, Christ dying on the cross was scandalous in heaven. Because this perfect life-giving God was going to be killed. And that, of course, I'm sure, if you didn't know how to deal with God, if you didn't have that essential trust for Him, even though they couldn't know His character fully, they could at least trust Him as the King. So they could live in holiness in terms of trusting Him as a king. They could yield themselves as loyal servants to the king, and thereby they would not fall. Thereby, even though perhaps they did not understand, it wouldn't be scandalous to them. It was simply the will of the king. Well, imagine if you were one of these holy angels. And all of a sudden, you learn that God was going to die. That's mind-boggling. And then on top of that, you learn that God would die for these sinful men who are created lower than the angels. Inferior species. God would die for an inferior species. Imagine, for example, to say a person should die for a guinea pig. That would be preposterous. That would be scandalous. And yet at the same time, in their estimation, this is a generalization, but something like that was going on. How could God die? And then how could He die for this inferior creature? And then, even worse, how could He become one of those inferior creatures? Even worse, how could He cause those inferior creatures to become one with Him in Ephesians 2, 15 and 16? This was a total nosedive. And so Lucifer said in Isaiah 14:13-14, I will against God. The rebellion came because of this complete mind-boggled, distrusting, disloyal confusion. Lack of trust and a lack of loyalty does lead to confusion, whereby Lucifer, being second to God in heaven as the covering cherub, thought to himself, well, then it's going to be up to me. Because this holy God, this life-giving God, is going to die for unholy, fallen, corrupt, inferior creatures. Complete scandal. Complete scandal. But what he didn't understand, and what he couldn't accept, was that God is love in 1 John 4:8. If you can accept that God is love, then you can accept that He loves you. Now, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is in this, that God is love. And because He is love, He needed to express. Because love, by definition, is first patient. Patience expressed is mercy. And so because love is patient and love is kind, also grace expressed is kindness in Ephesians 2:7. He had to express patience and kindness. If he was to manifest the fullness of who he is. But love is that way. Love must express, or it will never enter into the fullness of what it is. It will only have potential without realization. And so God is love, is potential. But for God, potential is completely meaningless. There must be realization. So the fact that God is love was not a condition that produced a dissatisfaction or an emptiness or somehow a need. The fact that God is love produced a condition whereby expression would take place, because expression must take place. And where there was no opportunity for expression, opportunity came out of love itself. And so God created us. Now, the expression of love came before God created us. We were the recipients of that expression, but the fullness of that expression, in order for the expression of love to be all that it was, the lamb had to be slain. And this was the foundation of the world, that the lamb had to be slain. Revelation 13:8. And that is because you cannot express love and deny holiness, deny justice. You cannot express love and deny truth. You cannot express love and deny who God is in all His other aspects also. So the angels recognize that God is just, that God is holy, that God is truth. But they didn't know what it meant, God is love. Because there was no opportunity for the realization within their frame of reference, within their realm, because of their perfection. And so, love created. But love created on its own self as the foundation. Revelation 13:8 shows us in the original language that the slain lamb was the structural foundation for everything that exists. And only after the lamb was slain, only after the structural foundation was laid, was there anything placed upon it. And the first thing that was placed upon it was time. In Genesis 1:1, when the Word of God said, "In the beginning God created the heavens is vastness, and we think of it as space. But vastness is space in and of itself is relatively meaningless. What we don't often realize is what Einstein showed us, that space and time are the same thing. That's why space-time is the name of it now. So God created time. When He created the heavens, He could not say to Moses, "I created time." That would mean nothing. God had to speak to men in terms they understood. But God created time. All of time. And in reality, that is still happening. Because all points of time, according to Einstein, exist simultaneously. And so somewhere in the universe right now, the first day is in fact taking place. Not that we can see the light from the first day and that light has traveled however long to get here. No, it's actually taking place, and the light is taking very short periods of time to get here because space collapses with velocity. And so, God is still creating. The day is still day one. The day is still day two. All the way to the seventh day, the day is still present. Don't ever think of time as a line that's being drawn moment by moment, which is the way that people tend to see it. They see time as linear. Time is more like a wave that's coming up on shore, where everything is coming into existence, past, present, and future, simultaneously, including us. People sometimes think that we do not have a volition thereby because everything was predetermined. That is false. That is thinking that time is linear. Our volition participates in God's creative activity. He put it in terms that we could understand. But physics shows us that time is not what we think it is. And indeed, like in that film, people talked about it after death. Time is different in heaven. Time is different. And time indeed is different than what we think it is. Einstein figured that out, amazingly enough. But this love thing is huge. Love is the reason why God created us. Because once love was established as a foundation, in other words, we had to be built on the foundation of love because of holiness. Holiness had to be satisfied. Love is holiness for humans. Love satisfied holiness when the lamb was slain and the blood became part of the structural foundation of everything in the universe, including us. Genesis 2:7 in the original language reflects this. We had to be imperfect. We had to be imperfect. We've talked about this before, but I honestly think this bears repeating because it's such a vital principle. So much of our lives have been told you are evaluated on your merits. You are evaluated on how well you do. You are accepted if you are good. In so many religious systems, they misrepresent God, and in truth, it's heresy. By the way, heresy is not, and emphasize not, somebody who denies Christ. Heresy is when I remain religious, I may even remain in my church, but I start to change the truth of God. And heresy often comes on the edges where we might deny something like the blood of Christ, where we may make an emphasis of some gift, where we might try to have some sort of an external condition or standard for grace. This is heresy. A lot of religious people in churches are actually heretics because they change the truth of God. They change the simplicity of the gospel. They change the purity of grace. And they add something to it. That is heresy. Now, love first served as a foundation because holiness had to be satisfied. God sent His Son because He loved. The Lamb was slain, and upon this the world was established, the universe, cosmos in the original language. So the blood was present when humans were created. As a matter of fact, part of our actual physical creation, part of the material in us, Genesis 2:7 tells us, is blood. Not our blood, His. It's a part of the soil. It's a part of everything. There it says in the original language, out of the dust of to show blood, God created to show blood. The root of the word is the same for ground and atom, and it means to show blood. And so even though we translate it accurately, but we can't forget the roots of the meaning. Both the ground and Adam are made of blood. Because, number one, the world is where all this plays out. The world is where sin took place. The world is where God permitted it to happen. And Adam fell. And he fell for God's purposes. He fell because of love. He did not fall because of the devil. Yes, the devil was the trigger, but he did not fall because of the devil. He fell because God required a recipient in order for the full manifestation of love to take place. I'm not saying that God caused Adam to sin. Adam had a free volition. God told him not to. But at the same time, God placed Satan into the garden. He entered into the serpent. Ezekiel 31 tells us that angels were in the garden. They were represented by the trees that were in the garden. Each angel had his own tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil in Ezekiel 31:18 was Satan's tree. Why did all this get placed in the garden? Why would God allow it? Because of love. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because of love. Because God's kindness, God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's compassions, they all require something whereby we need those things. If I don't need patience and I don't need kindness, then I'm just like the angels and I'm unable to receive them. But if I am fallen, I need patience and I need kindness, and hence, patience and kindness has a manifestation. Hence, love has a manifestation. We were created for the manifestation of the love of God. That love is the very nature of God. Now, who would God be if he did not love? Does anybody know the answer? The answer is he wouldn't exist. He is love. When God said to Moses, when Moses asked him, "Who shall I say sent me?" He said to him, "Tell them that I am sent you." And the actual language is, "I am that I am." Put plainly in modern English, it would be, "I exist, sent you." The God who exists, and there is only the one God, is love. He is immutable. He cannot change. Who would God be if he was not love? Then there would be no God. And if there were no God, there would be nobody. This is why Satan constantly attacks the love of God. If he can convince us that God is not love, then we will never know God and we can never have a relationship to him and we can never experience him. We will be nothing more than atheists. If he can convince us that God is not love. And so Satan attacks love. In the Garden of Eden, when the serpent who was Satan challenged Eve, it was really all about separating her from the love of God. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree of self-orientation. And that is the mechanism by which he knew he could separate them from the love of God. How did he know this? Because he saw it work. To separate a human from the love of God is equivalent to separating an angel from the holiness of God. Angels' relationship to God is based in holiness. That's Revelation 4:8. Humans have a relationship to God based on grace. But grace is the practical manifestation in Ephesians 2:7 of the kindness aspect in 1 Corinthians 13:4 of love. So he doesn't directly challenge saying God doesn't love. He directly challenges saying God is not kind. And that's a little different. Because in our minds, through self-orientation, we can understand what it means, albeit it is a deception, albeit it is utterly false, but in human terms, and human terms are deceitful, we can say to ourselves, there can be something like love without kindness. Because we conflate affection with love. Love is not affection, and affection is not love. Now, I'm not saying that affection will not take place where there is love. I am saying that affection can exist even without love. You can have affection where there is no patience and kindness until patience and kindness fails to be expressed and then the affection goes away. Love cannot go away because love is a character. Love is not an emotion. Emotions change. Character doesn't. Not for God. Our character has to be transformed by God. We cannot transform our own character. God has to conform us to the image of His Son in Romans 8:29, and He does it in Jeremiah 31, first and foremost, by drawing us to Himself through love. And so what happens here? What is this love about? This love is about God expressing the fullness of who He is. Now consider something. While God is complete and whole in Himself, yet because of love, He has chosen to make us into His body. And thereby, there is a certain element of increase, you could say, because of love. There's three persons, three expressions to the Trinity. In this one respect, God has four expressions. Love is the fourth expression, and that expression creates our place with Him as the body of Christ. And so we think of God in terms of Trinity. But there is a way to look at it that is scriptural, where you say there is one more. There's the body of Christ. There is the one new man of Ephesians 2:15 and 16. That love is God's fourth expression. So you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit, God who is on the throne of heaven, the one who plans everything out, God who takes on the form of a man so that He can have relationship with men and be the Savior of mankind, and then the Holy Spirit, God who is indwelling men, sealing them, making them the body of Christ. And then you have the love of God, the body of Christ, the body of God itself, the fourth expression. This fourth expression was what God was after, because in heaven He did not have a fourth expression. He had holiness, He had perfectness, He had everything that He is. He is completely and utterly fulfilled and satisfied, completely who He is in and of Himself. But He also desires to express who He is, and that is the fourth expression. Love. We are there to be His expression. The recipients of kindness, the recipients of mercy, the recipients of forgiveness, the recipients of goodness, the recipients of all that God is. We are there because the angels could not receive the fourth expression. They only knew Him in three expressions because they were perfect. Failure, really, if you think about it in terms of the finished work, is nothing more than an opportunity for love to be manifested. Forgiveness is an expression. Patience is an expression. Kindness is an expression. Restoration and redemption are expressions. And so why does God allow things to happen? Why does God allow us to fail? We say to ourselves sometimes, God, why did you let me do that? And God said, so that I can express to you something more than what you saw as being valuable. So that I can express to you what it means that I am a God of love. So that I can express to you the essential nature of who I am. So you can get to know me in a way that the angels cannot get to know me. So that I can have a fourth expression. That expression is love. And all that love leads to, which is us becoming the body of Christ. This is why Jesus said, love the Lord your God, but then he also followed it up with love one another, because the two are the same commandment. Receive the expression of who he is, and then manifest what you have received. Manifest it back toward God, and in manifesting back toward God, you're going to manifest it back toward the body of Christ, the fourth expression. When you love God, you love the body of Christ. We see this throughout 1 John. You love God, you love the body of Christ. Because that is the fourth expression. If you don't love the body of Christ, you cannot say you love God, because you don't love him in all his expressions. If you are impatient toward the plan of God, then your problem is love, not impatience. If you are impatient with other people, your problem is love, not other people or impatience, but love. There is a lack of love. If I have a problem with anger, if I have a problem with a frustration, if I have a problem with insecurity, whatever it is, it's a problem with love. It's not a problem with your circumstance. It's not a problem with the people in your life. It's not even a problem with you. It's a problem that you have not received, because of a wrong relationship, the love of God. You have put self in place of love as a shield against love. Take that away. That's why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take self away as a shield between you and love, and then let God love you exactly where you are. Receive it in childlike humility, because this is the reality of everything. The whole purpose of being alive is that fourth expression. When that fourth expression is given place in the life of a believer, utter transformation takes place to where they become the image of the Savior. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. If I'm not expressing love, then what am I expressing? If I don't receive love, then what am I receiving? And when I ask that, don't look at somebody mentally in your mind who you think isn't what they ought to be toward you. The problem isn't them. They are the opportunity, or you could say they are the mechanism by which God is revealing your condition to you. It's like a surgeon bringing a diagnosis. He needs to let you see where you are so you can make the necessary adjustments to take you where you need to be. Don't start performing, start receiving. Don't start striving, start accepting truth in its simplicity. Don't complicate it with religious or self-righteous thinking. Simply believe God at face value, because he cannot lie. If you say to yourself, well, I cannot overcome. If you say to yourself, I cannot forgive, and this does happen to a lot of people, they become so wounded that even the thought of forgiveness is wounding to them. Even when they think to themselves, well, how can I get to the place where I will forgive? Even that much is painful to them. And the answer is, then don't try. I'm not saying be passive. I'm saying don't try. Do something else instead. What do I do instead? Receive the love of God. Don't try to forgive if you have no capacity to do it. Receive the love of God, which will build the capacity in you. Don't try to serve God if you have no capacity to serve him. Instead, receive the love of God, which will produce the capacity in you. That's why in John 15:5, Jesus said, if you abide in my love, that's what it means, if you abide in me. He's saying, if you abide in my love and I abide in you, and John 15:7 shows us that means, and my word abides in you, then you will bear much fruit. What is the fruit? Well, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love. And then it has an entire progression of the expressions and the manifestations and also the product of love in a person's life. Joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and so on. It all comes down to love. When there is love, true love, not sentimental love, not human love, human love is not love. We know that because human love is conditional. If a person lives in human love, see how long they love you if you do something they don't like. That is to say, see how long they live in patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and goodness toward you if you do something they don't like. Or do they become angry, irritable, frustrated with you? Do they express a lack of kindness to you, and so on? That's human love. I will love you as long as I'm happy with you. If I'm no longer happy with you, I don't love you. The problem with that is it's not a question of happy or unhappy. Love comes first. Happiness is a side product. But love comes first. We live in the fourth expression. Because if we do not live in the fourth expression, if we do not live as the body of Christ, receiving the love of God, which is constantly being initiated to us because we are living a life of the blood of Christ, that was given to us by the love of God. So there's always some form of manifestation. Forgiveness is so simple. People live in condemnation, but there's no reason to do so because the blood of Christ removes their sin the moment that it appears in time. You can't be condemned. It's not even remotely possible. That's why Jesus said, I don't condemn you. You're already condemned. And the condemnation isn't one of judgment. The condemnation is the result of the blood being present because the blood removes sin from time. And if my life in Romans 14:23 never takes on faith, it becomes only sin by definition. My entire life is removed from time and there is the condemnation. But that's also the great provision that we have, whereby we can live a life that's nothing but love. If we rightly relate to the word of truth. The same Holy Spirit whose fruit is love is the one who guides us in truth in John 16:13. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit is guiding me in truth, He's guiding me both by the means of and the goal of love being expressed. So of course there's no condemnation. So of course we're forgiven. So of course we're accepted in the Beloved. So of course these things are true. So of course we can overcome. So of course we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Of course we can. We are the fourth expression of who God is. We are the recipients of love. But we're more than just recipients of love. That's only where it starts. Then in Romans 5:8, where it says in the King James translation, the other translations don't even do as well as that one does, and that one doesn't do so great, that God commended His love toward us. That word commended is not commended at all. It's the word sunesthesin in the original language, and it means to take two things and turn them into one thing. It should really read, God made us to be one with the love of God. God made us to be the fourth expression of who He is. That's why he that has been called has been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You could paraphrase it and say, the person who is born again is in God's process of becoming who God is. And so, therein is the fourth expression. We get there by receiving the love of God. Don't try to do anything until you know how to receive the love of God. Young people, don't try to think about relationships until you have a healthy relationship with God. Until you know how to receive the love of God, don't even think about a relationship, because it's going to be nothing more than human love, which is no love at all. It's a very poor substitute. It's a very poor decoy for love. It'll actually take you away from the love of God. And if it gets physical, which it should never get outside of marriage, but if it does, then it's simply nothing more than expression of self-gratification, which will completely corrupt the thinking when marriage is supposed to be a reflection of the love that God has between Him and us. And instead, Satan corrupts it through temptation into physical, premarital relationships, so that it's not an expression of love, but it's a striving for self-satisfaction through self-gratification. It's actually kind of disgusting. It's a complete corruption of our relationship to God. That's one of the reasons why people who enter into these relationships then find it very difficult to relate to the love of God, because so often they can't overcome, because they don't know what it means in Hebrews 9:14 to have their conscience cleansed by the blood. Nobody has to stay in that condition. But very few people who are in that condition actually get out. And it has to do with not being rightly related to truth and to the love of God. See, Satan tries to take away love by bringing in deception. He brings in decoys to steer us into that deception, thinking, oh, I'll find love in this relationship. And then you think you're going to replace God with a relationship. You don't tell yourself that, but that's essentially what's going on. That's the nature of it. You can't do that. Until you know how to receive the love of God, you'll never get to really be the fourth expression. But you were designed to be that. You were designed to be the recipient and the manifestation of the love that God is. Not the love that you have, the love that God is. As the love flows through you. Sometimes people think, well, I can only receive a little bit of love. Then my question is, how much of it do you give out? If I'm someone who is impatient or unkind or hostile toward other people for whatever reason, unforgiving, whatever, maybe I'm just a little bit neurotic and I can't bring myself to express love to other people for whatever reason that I might come up with in my mind. The truth of the matter is, the more you pour out, the more you receive. And if you don't pour out what you've received, then you're only limited to a small capacity. But really, if you pour out what you receive, then the volume is endless. Pour out the love you receive, and the volume of love is endless. You can receive far more than your capacity if you pour out
what you've received.
It's like Elijah when he told the widow, get as many bottles as you can and take that little bit of oil that you have and pour it into those bottles. Get as many as you can. And as long as she was pouring out, she was getting more and more and more and more. And it ended only when she stopped pouring out. Well, likewise with us, the more that you pour out the love of God, the more you receive. And if you keep pouring it out endlessly, then you receive an endless supply. But if you stop letting it pour out, then your supply will stop also. And then what you have is what you get. Love one another. Love God, yes. Because you love Him, 1 John 4:19, because He first loved you. So He's really saying, receive love from God and then love one another. And then the love will be in rich supply. Then the fourth expression of who God is will be manifested without measure, without end, without limit. And it can be manifested in one person alone who is willing. It's not about your ability, and it's not about anything about you, and it's not even about your rightness, if you will. Pouring out love will make you right. It's one of the amazing things. Pouring out love will make you right. You pour out, and it will make you right. It's all about the love of God. That's the fourth expression. Our receiving the love of God to become the practical expression of the body of Christ, that is to say, to become the practical expression of who He is as His body, is the one last component, you could say in this one sense, that fulfills the Trinity in the practicality of expression so that the fullness of the triune God can be manifested. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.